Lives of Pitch, the podcast where we pitch the best films that'll never get made. I'm Matt Turner.
And I'm Tom McGrath. And the game goes like this. We ask you, our devoted listeners, to come up with titles that you'd like to hear us pitch.
We then collaborate, coming up with story points, casting, and even marketing strategies.
Without further ado, this week's title is... The Dame Was My Hat.
The Dame Was My Hat.
Yeah. That one was from Tomasz Trzodakowski. So thanks, Tomasz, for
thanks,
that one.
Thanks, Tommy.
Yeah, they got in touch with us on facebook.com/ Life's a Pitch podcast. You can give us titles for the films any time of the week. We usually ask for genres every week.
Question was, what genre had we asked for this week?
It was film noir, I said, as I poured myself a whiskey and stood in front of the blinds, the light piercing through into the darkness of my office.
My smoke-filled office.
Yes.
Because I'd left the smoke machine on.
I'd gone through 50 a day that day. 50 lighters, that is.
50 smoke machines. It kept burning out for some reason. Maybe because I kept leaving them on when I was out. That's why when I walked back in and she... We're stood in the middle of a field full of smoke.
She being my cat. Really long legs for a cat.
And the problem was her fur kept clogging the intake of the smoke machine. Anyway, film noir.
Yeah, film noir. So do you want to hear some honorable mentions?
Honorable? There ain't nothing honorable about these mentions.
They're dishonorable mentions. Because they're dirty film noir mentions.
Downright dirty dealings of the honorable, dishonorable men. Downright dirty, dishonorable mentions.
Yep. So from Ed Crawley, we've got His Name Was Babyface.
His Name Was Babyface. Okay. What you got?
I've got...
Is it Macaulay Culkin? Because if not, I'll be upset.
It could be Macaulay Culkin. I was thinking, however, it was just like The Rock. But
with a baby's face and superimposing to his face.
Yeah.
I'll give you a mid-range here, okay?
Mm.
So, it's murder in LA, right? Everyone loves that shit.
LA Confidential.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, basically, they say... That there's a thing where there's a witness and all that they saw, because it was like a photo booth or something like that where they were murdered, all they saw up against the thing was this face of a baby.
Like a photo booth, the passport photo booth.
More of a sort of like 1950s style photo booth where it's like, you know, a room... With just a big flash bulb.
Like a photography studio.
Yeah, sort of. And that's when it happened. And what the camera went off, and and the only photograph that got printed from that film
this baby.
Was this. It was a baby face, just a face right up against the lens.
So the twist being that the murderer is Dwayne The Rock Johnson with a baby's face.
Well, but it's the thing is that they go all around looking for, like, killer babies.
What? No.
They go all around.
No, not killer babies. Just a witness. But the fact that they're questioning babies.
Yeah, they're questioning babies.
It's a film noir, and so he's using methods not used by the police.
Yeah, don't trust the babies, because a baby hired him.
Who's the detective?
It's Macaulay Culkin.
Macaulay Culkin is waterboarding babies.
Yeah, well, yeah.
Yeah.
Shoving
bamboo
it's like,
up their
oh, I
fingernails.
I don't trust these babies. I don't trust the person who hired me, like, because it was another baby. And
this pram just rolls in. Rolls into his office.
It's like a super Bugsy Malone. It's like she was sat there. She was sat there in a pram, buckled in. It was one of those two-seater prams where twins can sit next to each other, but one of them was empty. I found that suspicious. So anyway,
Super Bugsy Malone. So yeah. It's like, we can be anything that we want to be. The future is ours. We're not grown up. We're just babies. We ain't got jobs yet.
If you please.
Yeah.
So like they do all that. He's like, oh, it's suspicious that she was sat in one side of the pram and the other side was completely empty. Soon cleared up by the fact she said that her brother had gone missing.
But it's a baby with the face of Anna Kendrick smoking a cigarette, cigarette with a like a cigarette holder, and she's got these red gloves on. She's got baby's hands.
I feel like this is a bit in Rugrats.
I'm
pretty sure it is.
It's a baby, the body of a baby, the head of Anna Kendrick.
Yep.
But like wearing proper red people's gloves, the only red thing in the film.
Yeah.
These glittery red gloves, regular sized adult gloves, just
they
on
go
baby's
all the
hands
way up to the shoulders.
Yeah,
and really bunched up anyway.
Yeah, it's holding a cigarette holder, but the baby's body doesn't know what to do with it, so she's constantly like trying to put it to her mouth. It's like, I want it in my mouth. Like, the baby's body is completely independent from the head.
So, basically, they go around questioning other people, probably waterboarding some babies, I don't mind. They eventually find out that it's an ex-child actor. Because as we all know, as child actors grow up, their heads get bigger, but their faces stay the same size. Exactly the same size.
I'm quite liking Macaulay Culkin using Haley Joel Osment as a sort of street informant. Haley Joel Osment's got nothing babyish about him. This is a world where some people have regular-sized adult bodies and baby faces, and other people have babies' bodies and human heads.
It's like BoJack Horseman. It's never explained.
No, it's never explained. No, it's just... his name was Babyface.
Yeah.
I'm thinking Macaulay Culkin finds the killer, which is Dwayne The Rock Johnson's body with the head of a baby on it.
Yeah, so when Dwayne The Rock Johnson playing a child actor who was a famous actor when he was a baby, but then grew up and just his face stayed the same.
Because only its face was taken a photo of.
Yeah.
So it remained immortal. Yeah.
Oh, what?
it remained like
that's
that.
Not what happens, Tom.
I know, right?
That's not how photographs work.
There's a thing called a metaphor. And it's like, you know how we all remember Macaulay
Culkin? It's not this.
We always remember Macaulay Culkin as the kid from Home Alone with his...
yeah,
his mouth open. Yeah. And now we can't see Macaulay Culkin now without that. So this kid, because we know him from these adverts as a baby, he's grown up. Because he's been so self-conscious of having a baby face...
Right.
It's properly, like, gone to the gym and stuff like...
Become Dwayne The Rock Johnson,
yeah. But with a baby's face. But it's got, like...
Could you just say Dwayne The Rock Johnson?
Maybe. I mean, he is the Rock Johnson.
Yes. In this.
Yeah.
He's called Rock Johnson, an ex-child actor.
Dwayne The Rock Johnson.
Anyway,
So I think they chase him to the H on the Hollywood sign, and that's where they have a shootout.
But then Dwayne The Rock Johnson knocks over the H and uses it like a skateboard to ride, or like a snowboard to ride down the Hollywood Hills, knocking over houses as they go. Which is like totally a film noir thing, I think.
I can't think of a film noir that doesn't happen in.
It's pretty much the only genre it happens in, though.
Exclusively film noir films.
That happens. And then they get to the bottom and there's a big cloud of dust and smoke, and then out from behind it, a police searchlight switches on. And says, stop where you are! And then Dwayne The Rock Johnson's there. And he says, I want to hire you, Macaulay Culkin.
Cut to black. Credits roll.
Because he's got a big long cigarette. And you can see him framed against this police searchlight through the dust and smoke. And he says, I want to hire you, Macaulay Culkin. And then Macaulay Culkin says, well, you asked me out of a cloud of smoke with light framed against you. I can't say no. I'll represent you in court.
Cut to black.
Cut to black. There's a sequel, but we won't get to that.
Yeah, yeah. Well, they called him Babyface 2.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's. I can't think of a smarter subtitle for it. Just they called him
Babyface 2, subtitle, not guilty.
Okay. End credit song.
Face of an Angel. That's the name.
Kiss of a Rose.
Sealed Kiss from a Rose, of course, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so from @360, we've got Murder on Sesame Street.
Oh, nice. Right.
There's been a lot of Muppets in the last few
Yeah, we had Gremlins
weeks.
Last time.
Did we?
No, not Gremlins. In the last film noir, yeah. We had Gremlins.
In the last month or so, we've had quite a lot of Muppets.
Wow, okay.
Like, well, we had that one with Dave, didn't we, where there was... The entire cast of the Muppets. And then the one with Shannon, The People versus Dr. Pepper.
Oh, yeah, that had
Kermit the Frog.
Yeah. So, who dies first? In Murder on Sesame Street. Because Big Bird would leave the most hilarious outline.
That's where we start. Okay. Because people know who Big Bird is.
Yeah.
So we start with the outline of Big Bird, and it's Bert and Ernie in a trench coat and fedoras smoking cigarettes, just like, where's this town gone, Bert?
The Big Bird is dead.
The Big Bird.
Big Bird had his feathers in a lot of pies. The pies were inedible.
The pies were inedible. They could also sing and tell us letters and numbers.
And how many of them there were. So, Bert and Ernie, look at this.
Yeah, we've got Bert and Ernie just smoking on an alleyway. I think we hear the bins go. I'm like, oh shit, someone's still here. And it's Oscar the Grouch. It's like they pin him up against the wall by the scruff of his
neck. I didn't see nothing.
Yeah, I didn't see anything. It's like, tell us what you know, Grouch.
Like, shut up! Hey, if you think I saw something, maybe you should look over there. And he points over, and they zoom in like Bert and Ernie with their Bert and Ernie vision, and it's cookie crumbs all over the floor.
Mind meld. That's where I was going. That's exactly where I was going. So they we see the Cookie Monster in his run down flat where it, you know, those flats that's just got a mattress up against the wall. He's just eating cookies.
Of course, we're gonna make the hack cookie heroin allegory.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's going to be a junkie on cookies.
Well, I don't think because they turn him into the veggie monster, so it won't be cookies anymore, it'll be veg. He's just there sat on his mattress, his dirty mattress.
Wait,
eating.
Is that a thing?
Yeah.
He's now the veggie monster.
Yeah.
All right. I mean, that's fine.
Yeah. So he's just it's the same thing.
Yeah.
So he's addicted to vegetables, and I think with the whole film noir aspect, it's a great thing.
He's just vegetating on the floor. Like, he's like, he's passed out because he's had too much celery.
He's got a belt strapped around his arm for no reason.
Yeah, no reason at all. He was like, my sleeve was falling down.
Oh, my sleeve was falling down. That's why I tied this belt around it. And then ate my veggies. So in order to get to where we need to go, who murdered Big Bird?
Who murdered is Elmo?
Yeah, that's what I thought as well.
I mean, it can be Count von Count if you want.
Ooh, we need to... I think he owns the bar.
Okay.
Sesame Street. This is dystopian Sesame Street.
Well, obviously, someone's been murdered.
Yeah. because we've got, yeah, like, I think he leads, he's like, oh, yeah, all I could see was, was the letter E everywhere. That's what I saw, the letter E. And then, like, letter E, like, I don't know anything, but it was... Maybe if you go visit the Count, he runs everything on the street.
Yeah, I think I have the end of this,
This is where they go to the bar, and yeah. And they go to buy a drink, and...
Can I make a quick addendum? He's like, the letter E, it was floating... Flowing up in the middle of the sky. I didn't know what to make of it, but it was just there, a capital letter E.
And then
Bert turns to the camera and says, "Capital means uppercase."
And you go to visit. There's like this strip club where everyone's got. Well, there's a woman covered in feather boas.
Yeah,
that's just a puppet. That
made out of feather boas.
Made out of feather boas. Yeah, yeah. That's the one.
Just with googly eyes on top.
Yeah, and yeah, stripping on the stripping pole, and it's the Count running the place.
Yeah,
he's in a wife beater top, not a Count thing.
Yeah,
not a cape. He's in a wife beater top. Right. He's like, "What do you want?" From the bar, like
played by Christopher Walken, yeah. Apparently. While you want from the bar,
two whiskeys, please. One whiskey. Two whiskeys. What can I do for you, gents? We heard there was a murder. I mean, we saw a murder. Big Bird murdered in the alleyway.
In fact, he goes. This is stupid. And they go, two double whiskeys. He's like, two doubles? That's as many as four. One whiskey. Two whiskey. And then he pours the next one, and then he goes, four whiskey. There you are. And he's like... You skipped out three. No idea what you're talking about. And then so,
you want me to beat you with my bat? He's got a baseball bat with a bat painted on it crudely.
Yep.
So yeah, I think I've exhausted this Sesame Street knowledge.
I'll tell you what I think. happened.
Yeah.
Basically, they all put it together at the end. Which is Elmo didn't do it. They find something else. Elmo was like hiding because Elmo's the next target or something like that. I don't know.
Oh yeah.
And they find out that they go back to the
Elmo's
scene
scared.
Of the crime. They go back to the scene of the crime, and in one of the because we didn't figure out how Big Bird was killed. And I think it was like three prongs to the chest or something like that. And then they look inside a bin nearby, or in one of the gutters on the second floor of Sesame Street, and they find a discarded number 3. And the reason that Cookie Monster could see the letter E everywhere is because he was on the other side of the floating number 3.
So it was the number 3 that killed Big Bird.
Yeah. But it was Count Von Count's 3 that's gone missing, which is why he couldn't say 3 when he's pouring out the doubles.
Oh my god, that's a genuinely good mystery. Oh,
you gotta make it.
What a great world.
Dystopian Sesame Street.
It doesn't take much to turn Sesame Street into a film noir.
No. But there you go. I feel like I decided that
you've got weird Eastern European gangsters.
Yeah,
you've got a street.
Well, you've got a melting pot. That's the point of Sesame Street. You've got a melting pot of all kinds of different cultures and types of people and economic classes and all that stuff. Like that is the whole point.
It does not take much to twist it into a dark film.
New York is basically, you know, New York, Chicago. Yeah. These are the places. These melting pots are the places where, you know, that shit. It was a set. So I think, New York is a good... Sesame Street, New York.
Mm. So, yes, thank you everyone for your film noir dishonorable dirty mentions.
Dishonorable dirty mentions.
Dishonorable dirty mentions. Okay, so, yeah, before we move on to the final pitch, this is a reminder to give us a like on facebook.com/Life's a Pitch podcast and find us and give us a follow on Twitter. That's at Life's a Pitch Show if you haven't already. Also, we have a Patreon page.
Did you know? Quick point of order, quick PSA, everyone. Mm-hmm. Did you know that we had a Patreon page?
Yeah.
Where you can go over to there.
Yeah, just go there. Just go to patreon.com/Life's a Pitch podcast and you can donate you can donate money to us every month. If you like the podcast and want to keep it going, it is worth your time going there because you get a load of benefits to this. You get a bonus pitch every week. You can vote on the genre we do every week. There's audio commentaries on films. I think the last one we did was Titanic, wasn't it?
Yep.
There's quite a few. There's like Star Wars Episode 1 we did.
Yeah. You can get behind the scenes bits and bobs there. We did a big old video update of everything that we've got in the works just recently. So if you're really interested in the podcast, if you're enjoying it, then please go over there and have a look. It's negligible. It's a negligible outgoing for you sometimes and a massive, massive help to us.
Yeah, just $1 a month goes a fucking long way. So yeah, if you want to head over to patreon.com/Life's a Pitch podcast, please do. It's highly advised just to go there, really. Just to go there and check it out. That's all we're saying right now. You don't have to pledge any money, just go there, check it out. So Matt, before we go on to our final pitch, our major film pitch.
Our major movie motion picture.
We've got an award to give out.
An award? What kind of award?
A Yes Very Clever award.
Ooh.
Roll the sting!
Yes, very clever. There it is. The award for Most Very Clever Award.
The Yes Very Clever Award goes to a film title that we get that is based on an existing film title that we can't really do much with, but it is a nice
pun, usually.
Yeah, a nice pun. Sometimes it is just a really clever play on words. So sometimes there's been ones that haven't even been based on a film title. They've just been really, really funny jokes. So yeah, if you want to give your own Yes Very Clever nomination, please do so. That's a thing you can do. So this week, from at 360, we've got The Long Hello.
The Long Hello. It's like The Long Goodbye, but just hello. That's why I assume the Long Goodbye is, right?
So, finally, on to our final pitch. And that is from Tomasz Chodakowski. The Dame Was My Hat.
The Dame Was My Hat. Right. I feel like this has to be a kind of okay. In the oppressive world of 19... What when's this era?
Film noir?
Yeah.
I think it's like 20s onwards.
20s, right. So 19...
20s to 60s.
1920s. There's a PI who people won't take seriously. It's Jennifer Connelly.
Jennifer Connelly?
Yeah.
Yeah. From
Labyrinth,
Requiem for a Dream.
Yeah.
The most boring bits of those films. The Hulk. Not the Edward Norton one. Not the alright, not the acceptable Hulk movie.
Jennifer
the terrible Angley one.
She's a PI people won't take seriously because she's a woman.
Yeah.
They're like, what's a dame doing in this place? That sort of thing.
Hmm.
And then she's really short. She's really short, so she hires a man.
What?
To walk around underneath her.
No!
And she whispers into his ear, now ask about the lipstick.
What? No, right. I'm thinking, right, we take that idea.
Right.
So Jennifer Connelly...
And throw it in the trash.
Yeah, so Jennifer Connelly is... Because we're going with that now.
Are we?
Yeah. Which Jennifer Connelly plays a hat.
All right.
She voices a cartoonish... You know, like the sorting hat from Harry Potter?
Yeah.
In fact, the sorting hat from Harry Potter.
Okay. But when it's all new, right? Just been made. Like, the sorting hat's all battered and stuff, right? Mm. But the sorting hat in this case is new. It's like red. All the colours faded since then.
Yeah, the sorting fedora.
The sorting fedora, yeah.
Yeah. Jennifer Connelly voices that, right?
All right.
And this detective, played by Mary Elizabeth Winstead.
Billy Connolly.
Mary Elizabeth Winstead. Just, Billy Connolly's in this movie.
I just think it's funny that they have the same name. It's good, isn't it, guys? Billy Connolly, Sarah Connolly.
Didn't even think about that. But yeah, Mary Elizabeth Winstead is this detective / reporter for a New York newspaper.
Yep.
Like a Dateline. New York, 1923. Height of Prohibition.
Yep, no alcohol for you.
No. But yeah, she's swilling the alcohol because she's outside the law.
Yep.
And she's smoking cigarettes in her office. And then
she's inside a private area.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
And then suddenly... the hat that she's been wearing for the last 2 years working as a detective,
right,
just comes out and speaks.
Can it not be like cursed or something?
Yeah.
Can like she not like rumble? Discovers that
she's chasing a lead.
Yeah.
As in, like, running after a lead down a market.
Yeah.
And she bumps into... she ends up saving this someone's robbed a necklace from a jewellery store.
Yeah. It's like a stall.
Covered
in rags and stuff.
Like a stall, and it's this mystic...
Old lady. Of, like...
Played by Billy Connolly.
Yeah, he's like... It's an old man. It's a mystic old man. He's perfectly like, "Hey, you got my fucking necklace back!"
And, here you go, Mr. Old mysterious man.
I'm real fucking mysterious, eh?
You can't see me eyes.
I'm pretty... I've got sunglasses on and a low-brimmed hat.
And a coat that's up to me nose.
But I'll tell you what, for bringing my necklace back, it's a very pretty necklace. I'll give you this hat. It's magic.
That's a line never been uttered in a film noir movie before. Actually, it might have been, but not in that way.
But I'll tell you one thing. It's sassy. It's a sassy hat.
It's a sassy hat. Okay, I'll be the judge of that.
It's good at deduction. It'll solve a murder.
It's good at deduction.
Deduction.
Have you said deduction?
Deduction! Well, it's the skill you get when you know how to deduce.
Okay, cool. Okay, Mr. Old Crazy Man.
Shining.
Hat. I'll take your magic hat.
You know, like The Shining, it's like that, but for deduction.
I don't know what The Shining is. It's 1923.
You know, like The Shining?
No. It's 1923.
That hotel!
No, I've never heard of the film called... I don't know what a film is. Wait, it's 1923. This conversation goes on for
12 and a half minutes.
Yeah, it's a ridiculous concept. Mm-hmm. He keeps It's 12 minutes in which Billy Connolly...
He anachronisms are his thing.
Mm. He recites the plot of The Shining.
Yeah, he tells every single plot, every single plot point. He says, it's my favourite film of the horror genre.
Wait, hang on. Horror films? like movies?
Just like...
Wait, hang on. You mentioned that he says things in the film. Is this a film where people can talk?
People can always try. Yeah,
we get the bit. Yeah. So yeah, she goes back to her apartment/office where she's waiting on a new call, and this is where she's put this hat on a desk.
Yeah.
And she's crossed her arms, put them on the desk, chin on her arms, looking at it, and then it suddenly.
She's just been served a notice of eviction as well, because she's about to... She's not had some work
in a
while.
She needs a new case. Yeah. And
the last person whose case she solved turned out to be a mysterious old man who just gave her a hat for her troubles.
Yeah, exactly.
She spent 3 weeks on that case.
And how the fuck am I going to pay for my rent with this fucking hat? Well, we'll get on to that.
It's like seven magic beans.
Yeah. And... Because she's just a nice person, she accepts the gift and not money. So she's waiting on her desk, chin resting on her arms, looking intently at this hat. It's like, what's so magic about you? And that's when the hat jumps up and down to turn around. It's right. Like, maybe if you put me in the right way, that way I could tell you myself how I'm magic. And she's like, holy shit. It's a talking hat.
None of us saw it coming.
No, it's taken us 10 minutes to get to this point.
So
it's taken us 10 minutes of thing to get to...
Because Billy Connolly is the most interesting person in this film so far.
And so she's like, yes, well, didn't you notice in the magic Scottish man's thing, there was a marking, a brand on the back of his thing, and that same brand was on the cheek of the person she caught.
All right,
yeah, like taking the jewels,
right?
So. She's like, no, I didn't notice that. Thank you. You are really good at deduction, Hat. Oh, call me Hattie. That's my name. Hattie O'Cap.
Hattie O'Cap. That's me, Hattie O'Cap.
Voiced by Jennifer Connelly.
Yeah. Voiced by Jennifer Connelly.
And so she goes back down to Billy Connolly's thing.
Yeah.
And
he's gone, obviously.
The stall is gone.
Yeah, entirely.
However, she does see a load of lorries go past with the marking on, and it looks like it's like a similar marking to like the what's it? The wizard thing. From Harry Potter.
Yeah.
It's sort of a similar kind of rune, I guess would be the word.
So she follows these trucks to a facility. A big facility. Like a factory of some kind. She doesn't quite... It's not marked. It's not got a sign on it.
Mm.
But like... And she can't get in because there's a checkpoint. Before they get in, like a security checkpoint.
Mm.
But they do see a guy in a security uniform being kicked out on his ear. Like they say, get out of here! We don't need you anymore. And it's Nathan Fillion.
Okay,
and he's like, well, screw you too, you lousy animal. he goes off and he goes to a dive bar next door, and he's like sits down and gets a drink, and then who was playing the detective again?
Mary Elizabeth Winstead.
Mary Elizabeth Winstead goes in and says, or Hattie O'Cap says, you should go in and follow him, see what he's up to.
She's just giving directions to a detective.
Yeah. So she goes in there.
Like Mary Elizabeth Winstead, right? She's got nothing to lose.
Yeah.
Because she's being evicted. She just needs a new case. And this is the best thing that's come up in a year.
So Nathan Fillion, she buys Nathan Fillion a drink.
Mm.
The last few dollars. Last dollar, she buys them both a drink. And she says, he says, well, you see, I used to be the security guard for this installation. It was, we made cans of beetroot juice. Mm. But suddenly the whole place got bought out and here I am, you know, jobless, homeless. I lost my home because I used to live in the security booth. And now they're telling me, I don't know. Well, it all started when the boss went missing. He started going crazy. He sold up the whole
boss, the boss of the company that you work for, the one with the marking on?
No, the guys who made the beetroot juice.
Okay.
He started
the beetroot juice, and she does the inverted commas thing.
He started going crazy. He said that his wife had gone missing, and he had to find her.
God, this is turning into a more and more convoluted mystery as we go.
Well, I don't know much more about that, but thanks for the drink.
No problem. And then the hat talks. And
the hat says, did you happen to mention the name of your boss?
And she's like, oh, yeah. I brought a notebook and all I scribbled down was this doodle of a truck.
Did you happen to mention?
Happen.
The name of your boss. yeah, his name was, Keith...
Lemon.
Binghamsby.
Played by Keith Lemon.
Yeah, played by Keith Lemon. So, she tries...
Keith Allen, I was getting
she
mixed up.
She goes out to try and track down Keith Binghamsby, and it's not too difficult, because he lives out in a mansion.
Binghamsby Mansion.
Yeah, in the hills.
Yeah, in suburban New York.
Yeah.
Yeah. She gets the subway out there.
Yeah. And as she gets there, it's early evening, there's a party going on.
Mm.
Right? And she gets turned away at the door.
A fancy dinner party. So, yeah. Like, she's like, oh, okay, I'll just go home then. And then the hat's like, no, what are you doing?
Look in the trunk, she says. And she looks in the trunk of the car, and there's a cocktail dress.
Okay, so she changes into the cocktail dress. There's a scene where she has to get into this party.
Yeah.
With, like, the hiding the hat somewhere.
Well, no, she has to put the hat on a... She has to put the hat on a hat rack.
Okay.
And then there's a very similar-looking hat also on the hat rack.
Like, one, she has to smuggle the hat into the mansion, which is hilarious.
Yeah.
Because the hat won't stop talking.
Oh, mate, Tom, what a goof.
Yeah.
What a goof that is.
I don't know where she's going to put it.
Oh, my goodness. It's like she puts it, like, up her skirt, but at the back, so it looks like she's got a big bum, and then everyone goes, she's got a big bum looking like that.
You look ridiculous
in that.
You look
like you got a big bum in that, says the doorman. And she says, yeah, that's because I have. And he's like, ooh.
And then when she's taken out to put it on the hat rack, there's these two people walk past her and she's like, oh, sorry.
I just shat this hat. She says,
sorry, it's been a tough 9 months. That's what she says, and then puts the hat on the hat rack. It's like, right, I can spy from here. You just go mingle with the guests. You just go mingle.
So she goes and talks to Chadwick, Keith Binghamsby.
Who is not Keith Lemon. It's Billy Connolly.
Oh,
but
man.
Because we couldn't see his face.
Right, we didn't know.
Yeah, in the stall.
Yeah.
And he's putting on a proper New York accent. He's a master of disguise, is Billy Connolly.
Right, okay. Is this just Jareth from Labyrinth?
I guess.
What's, like, what? Where are the clues here, Tom?
We've got this far without setting up anything, which is a miracle.
I thought we had, like, a closed, like, this guy had left to try and find his wife for realsies because his wife had gone missing. I don't think it's Billy Connolly. I think it's Bryan Cranston.
Okay.
Is Keith Bingham.
Okay.
And Bryan Cranston's having a party, and they say, I thought you left you sold your company to go and look for your wife. And he's like, I did, but turned out, she just left me. Well.
Left me for this other man, this crazy Scotsman.
He's been all suspicious about it, you know. He's been like, it turns out she just left me, and he's like, seems to be making it up on the spot. Then they sort of, she, after talking to him, sneaks into his room. And she goes into the cupboard, and in there is, like, tied up is another guy. Is the real Chadwick Bingham.
Okay. So, right, where is this going?
Basically,
I think this has got to a point where we should ask this question.
We are trying to write an entire film noir scene by scene without knowing what the ending is here.
I think we've both come up with who's behind it all. We don't know what it is.
Yeah. To be honest, I think the missing wife is the hat. Because the hat was the dame. The dame with the hat.
Yeah, the missing hat. I think the curse of the hat is that she couldn't tell anyone about it, but she's a good detective.
Or she's forgotten or something like
or
that.
Or she's forgotten or something. It's a fucking Disney movie somehow.
Yeah. I'm fine with it. It's a bit Men in Black.
Yeah, a little bit.
Anyway, so it turns out that, like, Billy Connolly had turned her into a hat for, like, she was, like, having an affair with Billy Connolly.
Yeah.
But when she wouldn't leave...
Oh, God!
When she wouldn't leave Bryan Cranston, or not, like,
there's a really sort of dark, rainy, we'll get to this, I guess. But, so this is the beginning of Act Two.
Right.
Once she's set up the premise of a talking hat helping her out in detective work, and then somehow getting her into a party for some reason.
To go and check on one of the main culprits.
Yeah,
one of the
main culprits for something.
People of interest.
Yeah. We now have a thing of like, I need to track this person down, and then she goes, and then the hat, as she's investigating these locations, so like, where was your wife last seen? There's a bit where she's like, she beckons Bryan Cranston towards the hat rack, because she can't do any proper detective work herself. She's like, I'm gonna need some advice.
Could you meet me over by the hat rack? Yeah.
Meet me over by the hat rack, please, Bryan Cranston, because that's where I do all my thinking. And she gets a notebook out, and the hat's giving her giving her questions to ask Bryan Cranston.
But then there's a bit where Bryan Cranston takes her over to get a drink, comes back, and then she's like, okay, now what should I do? And the hat doesn't reply. And then she realizes that someone's left with her hat.
Someone's left with the hat.
Because they had the same...
Car chase!
Exactly.
Car chase with some proper flapper... what's the...
Ragtime music.
Ragtime music, yeah. That's
flapper music.
Flapper music.
Yep.
Like, and she's... Yeah, she's... in this...
Such a low-stakes card game.
She's going to get a hat.
Oh, no, she finds out from Bryan Cranston. She before realising this, while at the bar, she realises that Billy Connolly is what done it, right?
Okay.
He realises that... She realises that... the hat is the dame, and the dame is the hat.
Okay.
Right? She realises that Bryan Cranston's wife, or the real Bryan Cranston's wife, who she's just freed and let out the back window, is, in fact... In fact, yeah, that's what happens. Yeah. She goes upstairs, frees the real Bryan Cranston.
Mm.
There's a magic, like, false copy of him walking around. Goes back to the hat rack and realises that hat's gone.
Yeah.
And someone's walked off without it.
Right, so I just realised
so the car chase
was really just going after a car that didn't really expect to be chased.
Yeah, just pulling over a car.
Yeah, it's like, pull over, you've got my hat.
We swap hats back.
This is your hat, that's mine.
So
they're
they
identical. There is nothing different about them.
And this one's got a mouth and eyes.
This one will not stop talking, thank you. I thought there was something different about this hat.
But there was an offensive Irish accent coming out of the back of the car. So, yeah, so she realises, oh my goodness, it's Billy Connolly did it. And he's left behind this illusion of Bryan Cranston on the way. And like, then she says, wait, where's that? Where did that hat go? And then someone says, I thought I saw a lady leaving with a bearded Scotsman.
A bearded Scotsman? And then she takes about 5 minutes to think about who that could be.
She's a shit detective.
Yeah, terrible detective. It's the hat that does all the work. This is the thing.
Then car chase.
Right, so we've got stakes to the car chase now.
But anyway, the car chase leads them all the way back to this factory that's just been taken over.
Mm.
And then there needs to be a second character in this who has arms and legs. I've got it. So she
who has arms and legs?
While up there. Yeah, it's not a hat. while up there, she learns how to undo the spell, right? So while she's getting close to this car, she's reciting this incantation she started to learn to reverse this curse.
Mm.
Right, and
that's where the hat doesn't turn back, but it starts to get memories back.
Yeah,
and this is where when Billy Connolly is driving the car, he's wearing this hat. The hat starts to eat Billy Connolly's head, and then that's when he does we get a flip into the
side of this factory.
Yeah,
and it smashes into the side of the wall,
mm.
And the car goes up in flames. And then Mary Elizabeth Winstead gets out of the car.
Mm.
She runs inside. She drags the bodies from this burning car and bodies because she's finished the incantation.
Mm.
This white dressed woman is just covered in red. Covered. She's dead. She's dead, says Mary Elizabeth Winstead.
Oh, no. My friend. My one true friend.
The hat is now dead.
The hat is dead.
And then she wakes up and goes, oh, no. It's just beetroot juice.
Wow. And it was beetroot juice.
Yeah.
There was no bootlegging.
There were no stakes.
There was no stakes, but it was a fun ride.
There were no stakes in this film whatsoever.
It's just a load of misdirections.
And then Billy Connolly says, you're right. It was just beetroot juice. I'm alive too, and I'm still a problem.
I'm still part of the problem. He pulls a gun out, a Tommy gun, and he's like,
this is a magic Tommy gun, because if you remember from the start, I'm a wizard.
It's a bit weird in a film noir movie. But, and then he turns to the audience and goes, deal with it.
You got this far.
You came to see a film called The Dame Is My Hat. What were you expecting?
Okay.
And then he holds the gun out
Jennifer
Connelly.
To pull the trigger.
Yeah.
When whang, it's Castle.
It's Nathan Fillion.
He said, thanks for the drink, ladies.
I knew you were a hat all along. How's it going, Hattie? And Hattie O'Cap is like, thank you very much.
My favourite employee, the security guard who I know on a personal basis.
And then Mary Elizabeth is like, so what happened? How did you become a hat? Well, as you know, I was having an affair with a wizard.
And then when I wouldn't leave my husband...
He turned me into a hat.
He tied my husband up, took his place, and then turned me into a hat.
Yeah. And then gave me to you for some reason.
To try and get rid of me.
Because I wouldn't stop talking.
I tried to eat his head over and over every time he'd wipe my memory, and then my memories had just come back.
Mm.
He had to get rid of me eventually.
So how does this end?
Yeah.
He had to get rid of me eventually. Cut. Hard cut.
They all...
We've reached the exact 2-hour mark.
They all so take over cut. The... They all take over the beetroot fortune and live happily ever after.
There's a saxophone, a trumpet, a lonely trumpet tune playing the Beauty and the Beast. Tale as old as time.
I'm going to make it sort of like film noir-ish. So it's...
Just a minor key kind of.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Rain pours down over New York, and we see Mary Elizabeth Winstead in a new apartment with a load of crates of beetroot juice. She's going around selling, and then she pulls a hat off the hat rack and looks at it sadly. I wish it talked.
No, she pulled a hat off the hat rack.
Yeah,
and she put it on. She's like. Oh, right, what is it today? What are we doing today? It's raining pretty badly outside, and you hear, oh no, I'm gonna get wet.
Yes.
So, that was. Whatever that was.
Yeah, that was The Dame Was My Hat.
The Dame Was My Hat. And that was true of that.
Yep.
Of that.
We made that a film.
Yep. We made it into a film. There was a car chase, mystery, Nathan Fillion, all the things you need from a film.
Yeah. A film noir.
Yes.
In fact. So, thank you for listening to this week's episode of the Life's a Pitch podcast. Remember, if you'd liked... the episode, go to facebook.com/Life's a Pitch podcast. Give us a like there. Give us a follow on Twitter.
That's what it's called.
Yeah, give us a follow on Twitter at Life's a Pitch Show. Go to soundcloud.com because that's where all our stuff is. We've also got stuff on iTunes, Acast, basically anywhere we can find a podcast.
Where all good podcasts are sold.
Yes.
If you got this far, then you must be enjoying the show. So if you want to keep it happening and you want to keep making it better, maybe go over to patreon.com and have a look at all the rewards you can get for contributing a little bit of money to help us continue. So yes, thank you to all our current patrons. That is... My Waste of Talent, Joe Hegarty, Brent Black, Brandon Spanky Mills, Mihir Trivedi, Alex Keane, Stephen Thomas, Ross _ Originals, and Spicy Boy.
yeah, thank you, those guys, for contributing to our Patreon page. And remember, if you want to contribute yourself, go to patreon.com/Life's a Pitch podcast. So,
until you get transformed into the shape of a fancy hat and need to guide a clueless detective to find out how terrible Billy Connolly is, I've been Matt Turner.
I've been Tom McGrath.
And until then, remember who pitched it.
Bye!